Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Jack, with your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna,
and special guest,
Jessa. Hello.
Woo. And also Darkwing Duck, apparently.
Darkwing Duck, apparently, yeah.
When there's trouble, you call me.
Darkwing Duck.
We will get back to that. Jenna has made it quite clear that we are going to get back to that topic. But before we do, before we get back to that topic, we need to do one more important thing, and that is, what's everyone drinking?
I am drinking Dr. Pepper with maraschino cherry liqueur in it.
Ooh.
That's it.
You and I are on the very similar wavelength, because I am drinking Dr. Pepper with sour cherry liqueur.
Oh.
And vanilla liqueur.
Oh. Ah, fuck. I have vanilla liqueur. Shit.
Well, it's all. If only there was somebody who could go get you a drink right now.
Yeah, too bad I'm doing a podcast.
Yep.
Well, Walt,
what are you drinking?
Mystery soda. We got Pepsi from when we ordered.
Hop Wong.
On the little menu, they just have soda, and they don't like. There's probably a way to be like, I want this soda, but
sure.
But it's the fun of it's the surprise,
right?
So the mystery soda is Pepsi, which she does not like.
Yeah,
and well, there you go.
It's not my favorite, but it is something.
It is a beverage to whet your whistle.
It is soda.
And as mystery soda, I feel like it fits Apropos of Nothing quite well.
Also, Darkwing Duck.
Yes. God damn it, child.
What liquor would you put with the Dr. Pepper?
What?
What liquor would you put with a Dr. Pepper to make it a DW?
Ooh.
Whiskey?
Blackberry liqueur.
Mm.
Because it's all purpley and dark.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But
that makes sense.
Whiskey is what I would.
We could do both.
Why not both? I was just.
Volcano those stuff.
I'm okay with this, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that does sound delightful. God damn it. I'm on my last Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Upon reflection, yes.
What are you drinking, James?
James.
I am drinking a truly hard seltzer, watermelon and kiwi.
Wow, that's a lot of allergies. That's like all the allergies, not all of them.
Not even close.
No.
I rubbed it on a coconut first.
Oh. Okay, no, that's more of them, yeah. Hold on.
Wow, that got...
it's missing the peanuts.
Coconut, although he rubbed it on the...
Oh, wait.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Any of the other melons.
This is getting...
I was about to say banana.
Dairy.
This is getting kinky.
I'm going to eat a peanut butter egg. Yeah.
Oh,
no
shit.
There's no latex in the drink, is there?
Here we go. Peanut butter chocolate egg is what's happening.
Oh.
And now I wash it down.
Jenna, you should have taken that opportunity to go get the vanilla liqueur is what you should have done.
I'm going to get the vanilla. It's actually Jim Beam vanilla, so it's vanilla whiskey.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh. Well, there you go.
I'm doing that.
Jenna had a topic she wanted to talk about. Jenna?
So for the quarantine, I'm pretty sure you stocked up on all the subscriptions to all of the various things.
Yeah.
So we've got like Hulu, we've got Netflix, we've got fucking ESPN.
Yeah, we got ESPN Plus, and we got Curiosity Stream. Disney Plus,
I was going to list Disney Plus last, because that's
where
segue.
We... Oh.
You see?
Sweet segue.
Well, it was going to be, and then...
I
just
want to
back up just half a second.
God damn it, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a part of the... There was a bundle where you could get... Disney, and ESPN. However, ESPN also has MMA fighting. So, yeah. Yeah.
Research. Got it.
That.
Yeah.
Just MMA fight is awesome. So, fuck it. Cool. Anyway, yeah.
I was not aware you were a fan.
I'm not like... I don't follow it, but I enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I don't have, like, favorite fighters or anything other than, like, people bashing each other up. You know?
Right, yeah.
I like people fight.
It's that gladiatorial instinct.
Yeah.
It's like...
When we were going to get Disney Plus, I also looked at the ESPN package and kind of went, maybe for hockey, and then looked at the actual, like, what you get, and it's a lot of the live televised games they don't actually show, and so it's like there's no point to this.
Weird. Yeah.
So, anyway, but you have been watching.
What have we been watching?
We've been watching DuckTales.
Ooh.
Or, well,
yeast.
We've been watching DuckTales, and I happen to be in the room occasionally.
Yeah.
That's how most TV watching goes with me. I don't get into it the same way that everybody else seems to. I don't binge. I don't seek out TV shows. They just kind of happen in my vicinity, and I absorb all of the entertainment through context clues.
Okay.
But I mean, that is how I've done it in the past, but I think working from home and living in the house full time, I've needed something to help break away, like I'm done working now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a reset button.
Sure, yeah.
Kind of a thing. Does that make sense?
It is the mental version of getting away from your workplace and moving to your home place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. You cut in and out for me. I hope you didn't cut in and out for everybody.
There was a little bit of a jitter, but we're back.
Okay.
Okay.
Salsa's a little jittery.
All right.
Oh, God. You got the steak salsa? Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh,
don't do that. No. No, that's not a
problem. The DPs?
Physical jokes on an audio show.
So, anyway. How are you finding the DuckTales?
Oh my God, I love DuckTales so much. It's so good, you guys.
Yes.
Oh,
I can vouch.
It's surprisingly good.
Like
I thought it would be enjoyable, but it's like well put together. Mm-hmm. The way they've incorporated the various duck shows, I guess.
The Duckiverse.
The Duckiverse.
There you go.
Yeah. The way everything's incorporated. And we just watched, if anybody's seen it, the Darkwing Duck episode.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume I'm sure there's more later on, but this is the establishing Darkwing Duck episode. I'll say it like that.
Yep.
Okay.
And it is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It was so well done.
I was not expecting this level of quality because a lot of there's been a trend recently, and by recently I mean the past like 5 years or so,
mm-hmm.
of companies rebooting old shows and making them appeal to younger audiences and somehow making them worse.
Yeah.
When the original thing was also still intended for young audiences, mm-hmm. and it's like, I don't understand with it. Like, Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go. I've heard a lot of negative things about Teen Titans Go. I haven't watched it because it really doesn't look like my kind of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. But it's such a far abstraction from the original Teen Titans, which was really kind of moody.
It was. It was very edgelordy. Yeah.
But on the
I
other
will
hand...
say...
Oh, go ahead.
When Salsa and I were working together, Teen Titans Go was pretty frequently up on the, you know, the big screen.
Man, I'm glad I left.
And I watched a fair amount of it, and there were, I want to say, like five or six episodes out of the dozen that I watched that were really not great television, but they were super fun. And that's what that show seems to be about, is not about being, you know, moody, dark, grim, dark broodlords, but about being just relentlessly fun. There's one where all of them are puppets, which is fucking great. And then there's another one where they confront Cyborg about his addiction to not just music, but one song in particular from the 1980s called The Night Begins to Shine. And whenever he listens to it, he imagines the world in like Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper vision. And it's like Metal Eagle Laser Wolf vision. Yes. And it's pretty fucking spectacular. And that episode is quality. I enjoy it. So it's the show on whole, I don't think I can recommend the way that I recommend things like Steven Universe, Star versus the Forces of Evil, that kind of stuff. But it is definitely worth catching the occasional episode.
Say, Star Force really hasn't grabbed me the way it seems to be grabbing everybody else.
Star versus like the Forces of Evil? Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, but it's not... I think it takes some setup.
Yeah, the first season is not spectacular.
I've not been... I don't know the show all that well.
Yeah.
The most I know about it is having watched, like, one or two episodes and reading some fan theories.
Okay.
Because somebody was like, there's trans parallels. And I'm like, there's trans parallels? And apparently there are, yes.
There super are. It's really good.
And I'm not going to say anything because that sounds like spoilers. But, yeah.
But, yeah, Darkwing, or the DuckTales, whatever.
Yeah.
The thing. That's great.
What I was going to say is DuckTales doesn't feel like one of those cash grabby things. It feels like they took what made DuckTales good, and then they were like, cool, let's do that again, but let's give it fucking just, let's get deep in there.
Yeah.
Look at those undertones.
I feel like they took what was so great about the remake of She-Ra and said, we're going to make that, but also have it appeal to, a larger stretch of age groups. Because even though She-Ra was definitely enjoyable for us who are nostalgic about the original, it was still made for more for kids. Whereas I feel like DuckTales is kind of going that more Pixar route of being levels for both kids and specifically for adults.
Kind of the Muppets thing.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. One thing I've noticed about DuckTales is all of the female characters are very competent.
Oh my god.
All of
super
them.
Badass, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're strong as fuck.
Mm-hmm. So many. What's really funny is in season two, we're noticing a trend of the reoccurring villains getting female sidekicks who are better at their job than they are.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to watch.
Yeah, no.
Getting to
just
watch
like,
DuckTales.
Just be like,
yeah.
Oh, it's a lady doing something cool. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
But watch DuckTales is one half of the reason that I want to get Disney Plus for myself also.
That is a very solid, honestly, reason to get Disney Plus is DuckTales. Mm-hmm. There are many, but if you get it solely for DuckTales, then that's not too
It's
shabby.
Still money well spent.
Because, you know, like we've been saying, not only is it really well done, but they really do they pull in all of those elements from all of the other the Duckverse, as Jenna was saying earlier. You know, they've got the Darkwing Duck, they've got Tailspin in there, they've got three Caballeros makes an appearance at some point.
Yes.
Oh wow!
Oh my god, like, that was so good.
I know they're pulling from all these different areas and going, we're going to take this element, we're going to make this.
And I love how they made like those characters not as racist, honestly, the Caballeros.
We saw the Three Caballeros episode with my kids, and then we're like, we have to go watch this movie now so the kids know what happened. And we watched the movie, and we were like, a couple times, we're like, and we're just gonna forget about that part, but,
yeah. What if we just skipped that?
Yeah.
That's just gonna become the background of Splash Mountain, thanks.
But I mean, my kids went through all of the new DuckTales, watched the old DuckTales, all that they have, and then started back on the series one, episode one of the new DuckTales again. They've been sucking it up just like mad. So
excellent.
Yeah, it's because they are creatures of taste,
right?
They get it from Raiderly, but
Well, I feel like Raiderly's taste in men is questionable.
But I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, it's Raiderly.
Yeah.
But what I was gonna say. Oh, and the voice talent.
Oh
my god.
So good.
Oh my god. Like, I knew about David Tennant, and I was like, okay, this is great. And then I'm listening to the Fenton character, and I'm like, this voice sounds familiar. Where do I know this voice from? And I look it up. I'm like, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Oh my god! Fucking what?
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm just like, every time a new voice comes up, I'm like, okay, well, who the fuck does that one? And some of them, I'm like, meh, I don't know. And then like the Webby voice, the voice for Webby is, oh my god, I can't think of her name.
I can't help.
Son of a bitch.
Starts with an M. Shoot. I would have been able to tell you until this moment, because now my brain is
in my head. I'm thinking Kate Micucci. But
yes,
I
that
don't
one.
Think that's right.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, no, she's fucking amazing. She was in Steven Universe too.
Yeah, I know. Like, that was what made the connection for me first. So I'm like, Sadie?
Yeah, I wondered.
And then I was like, wait a minute. Yes. Yeah, there's so much good voice talent on that show. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Kate Micucci is also on a show that I'll talk about during my What Have You Been Watching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bobby
Moynihan is one of the triplets, too. He's done a lot of voice work for various other kids' shows as well. He does one called Nature Cat, which my kids love. So I have a hard time whenever he's talking, if I'm not looking at the screen, I'm always like, okay, are they watching DuckTales or are they watching Nature Cat right now?
Oh, yeah. So yeah, DuckTales, highly recommend. Please go check that out. It's such a good thing to be watching right now, where you just need escape and comfort. During these trying times.
And then it wrenches your heart out, and then it puts it back with love and care, and it's like, ah.
That's really accurate, actually.
It really is.
The end of season one, I was like, you didn't just do that! And then it happened! And then they fixed it in season two, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah, except then they did the other thing. Okay, so anyway, spoilers.
That shit is what you're saying.
Talk about it, but I just can't, because it's so much better if you like. Not even because it's spoilers, but because I want you to experience the same thing that I did, because it's so important.
Woo. Oh,
good.
God damn it, I was
real good.
Taking a drink.
Other thing I've been watching is The Great on Hulu.
Oh.
It's about Catherine the Great. What? No. Tired. God damn it. God damn it, Tulsa. Get the fuck out.
Okay.
It's a series about Catherine the Great. I think, what does it say on the flesh? An occasionally true story.
Yeah. Yeah.
An occasionally true story.
It just says The Great, and then there's an asterisk, and then asterisk, an occasionally true story.
Yeah.
That's the title screen every time. It's great.
And I watched it because I kept seeing ads for it on Facebook, and I was like,
yeah.
You know what? Okay, fine. I'll check this out because it looks cute. Oh my god, it's so much better than cute. Oh my god, I'm not gonna spoil anything. I will say it is very adult. Do not watch with your children.
Well, for listeners who might not know what that is, go ahead and give us a brief what it is.
Oh god. Okay, so it's a series about Catherine the Great again. Not loosely based on Catherine the Great. setup is she gets shipped off to marry Peter, Emperor of Russia, blah blah blah, whatever. He calls himself Emperor during the show.
Fair.
And yeah, she comes in all doughy eyed and naive and adorable, and like over the course of the series, she just gets real. She gets great. But the each show is a show unto itself, so it's kind of episodic. But there is like overlying theme that happens across it, because of course eventually she's gonna become Catherine the Great. Like we all know this,
right?
Yeah,
that's how history is. It's not gonna change. But it goes over all of this, but it's almost like a sitcom. But, like, also, not.
There's elements of, like, soap opera in there now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's very, very big, a little over the top, in very delightful ways. But it'll still just grab your heart. And shortly before this, Justin and I watched the season finale. And I am so mad.
I'm so angry.
And I cried, and it was amazing.
So based entirely on your description of what this is, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like a sitcom if attempted by Russians.
I mean, maybe. It's slightly like it's got sitcom. It's a sitcom like The Good Place. It's got that kind of a. It's kind of sitcom-y, but it's not a sitcom.
But there's a level of gravitas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it is actually. I think The Good Place is a good comparative.
I've seen episodes of The Good Place, and I'm like, it's about that. It's that
same kind of tone.
There's a heaviness to it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's good moments, good snappy moments throughout.
Yeah. And, oh my god, like, it's not for children. It's not for children. Nope. It's not for children. Also, do not watch with your children. My child is an adult now, and also a vilifier, so
technically,
it's less awkward.
Technically an adult.
Oh my god, there's fucking scenes, there's swearing scenes, there's killing scenes, there's grotesqueness.
Is there nudity in this, or is it implied?
Yeah, I think so.
There's a lot of it's actually really implied.
Yeah, okay. Most of it is implied.
But there are moments of boobage.
Okay, so this isn't like Game of Thrones level walking around.
No,
nudity,
it
but...
no.
Okay,
well, we're making an excuse for you to pay for this premium channel. Levels of nudity.
They probably have more sex than Game of Thrones, but so much of it is more implied or almost slapsticky that you're just like, oh.
Okay.
There's a lot of silliness involved with their stuff. It does not have the of Game
now
of
we fuck because we are in love
or whatever.
No, it's more real than that.
I remember that line in Game of Thrones.
And of course, Mr. Lebowski, you can probably guess what happens next. I don't know. Oh, he fixes her cable.
Yeah. It's much sillier, but I think ultimately more fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
it does look pretty fun. Yeah.
I recommend it.
Go see it.
And then let me know when you've seen it so that we can share in our anguish over the season finale. Jesus.
I didn't even watch every episode. I told you I came in at bits and pieces and pick the right stuff through context clues, and I just
That was a visceral scream, is what that was.
No, you should have seen us after visceral. That. And it was like, and that was the season finale. And Jess was like, what? she screamed.
All right.
We're just like, I'm like, I am so frustrated. I need to go smoke.
Like, I'm frustrated, and I wasn't even here for the whole thing.
Visceral Scream is my Slayer cover band.
Oh, I was about to say, sounds metal.
Good call. Good call. Anyway, that's what I've been watching.
Cool.
Nice.
I will go ahead and jump in on this one. I have been continuing my Marvel marathon. Did I mention yet on this podcast that I watched Inhumans?
I don't have an answer.
I'm starting to get into that time period where we're into Doctor Strange, Black Panther area in the movies. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in season 4 and 5. We're kind of getting into that area. Where Marvel was going, we've got all this stuff going on. We're going to try a couple other things. Agent Carter didn't work out. It went for a couple seasons, but that was a couple years ago. Now we're going to try a few new things. And they started with Inhumans. And then it was promptly canceled after one season because holy fucking shit, pile of turd. It was not good.
What was it? I barely even know that it's a thing.
Okay,
so
Inhumans is in the Marvel universe, in the comic book universe, the Inhumans are a race of humans who thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years in the past, an alien race came to the planet and like genetically altered some people.
Sounds like Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're mostly human, but they are not entirely human. They do have alien DNA in them. When exposed to this they call it the Terrigen Mist. When exposed to this mist, their latent DNA comes forth and they become mutants. Basically, that their alien DNA comes forth, and that manifests itself in many different ways.
But they can't say mutants because of right.
Sure, exactly.
And I'm pretty sure mutants is a very specific term, actually, in the Marvel canon.
Yeah, in humans.
Also, it's currently trademarked by Fox.
Well, but I mean, this goes really? Way back to This goes way back to the 80s or whenever it was that the Inhumans were created. But it was this race of people that had this alien DNA in it, and therefore they had these altered abilities. They lived separately in their own society. I believe in the comic books they were under the ocean, but in the TV show they're on the moon.
Is like this by Stan Lee or L. Ron Hubbard?
Stan Lee. The king, the king of the Inhumans is Black Bolt, and he has whenever he talks, it creates sonic waves that are powerful enough to destroy anything. He is basically the world's most powerful weapon. Just by whispering, he can melt a person, and so he basically cannot talk. He has gone through his whole life ever since he changed. He doesn't talk unless. Oh yeah, James. Sorry.
I vaguely remember that character when you said Black Bolt. I was like, wait. Yeah. Back in my childhood days.
Which was yesterday. I'm sorry.
No, excuse you.
I love you, but I remember when you were 2.
When I got a Wii, when I was Wii, one of the games that I played a whole lot of was Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and they have a segment where you're about to get fucked, and the Watchers intervene, who are the big head people. In the Marvel Universe, who are basically omnipotent, but they're like, we're not going to interfere because that's bad.
Yep.
But then they were like, ah, fuck, the universe is going to go to shit if we don't intervene here. So we're breaking our oath here to bring you here so that you can save the universe.
Right.
But I distinctly remember Black Bolt sitting in a chair somewhere. He might have been repurposed. They reuse characters a lot.
Yeah.
But I distinctly remember him because if you play as Deadpool, you have a very specific conversation with Black Bolt where he tries to get Black Bolt to say the word spatula.
Sounds like something Deadpool would do.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, you know you want to say it. Just one word. Spatula. So that when you said Black Bolt and you were like, this is his ability, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this sounds like a pretty cool superpower, you know, the ability to just utter a sound and destroy things, which he then proceeds to use once in the entire series. His wife is the queen of the Inhumans is Medusa, who has prehensile hair.
Cute.
And then there are various other Inhumans that are running around and helping him, stuff like that. But anyway, this series is like 8 episodes long or something. I think it's 8 episodes long. And it's so bad. The acting is shit. If you've got a main character who can't talk throughout the whole season, he cannot talk, you would think you would find somebody with a physical, like, facial, emotional range more than just constipated and confused constipated. That is his whole facial range. They are just so unlikable. You hate them. Like, I seriously, as the series went on, I was rooting for the antagonist. Because he was kind of the king and queen here are upholding this caste system and treating the workers like, dirt. And I want to remove the caste system. And I'm kind of like, I'm picking up what you're laying down, and whereas...
Why is he the bad guy?
Whereas the king and queen, they're deposed, and they're walking around on Earth trying to, like, reclaim their throne, and they're just treating the people that are trying to help them like servants, and just being kind of general dicks that are self-entitled to all the time, and I'm kind of like, I really hope you don't succeed. Like,
fish out of water... fish out of water comedy, but you really hope that the fish dies.
Yeah, you just hope the fish just gets stabbed with a harpoon. and you're really kind of rooting for the bad guy at this point, the quote-unquote bad guy. No, it was like, seriously, I did not think they would be able to make a Marvel show where the protagonists were less likable than Danny Rand, but they did.
Somebody pointed out something really amazing about Defenders and Danny Rand, Iron Fist.
He's really good in Defenders.
Oh, okay.
Somebody pointed out something kind of amazing, which is that in almost all of the MCU, and in fact in like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that kind of stuff, you have super-powered people or super-smart people who are saving the world from super strong people. And in Marvel's Defenders, and especially in each of the series for the Defenders, but in particular Iron Fist, you have, instead of the physical threat, you have a psychological or a legal threat, something completely different than you have in almost everything else that Marvel has put out in the last 2 decades. And this was Bree Cecile. She was like, yeah, especially Iron Fist, it starts out immediately like the bad guy is a corporate takeover.
Huh.
Instead of being, someone who's going to annihilate the world with a laser or you know, someone who can lift a building over their heads or something like that. It's someone who is going to take over this company and through a corporate takeover do bad things. And that makes me more curious about going back to it possibly, but also through discussion we were like, yeah, in Jessica Jones, the even though she's super strong, the bad guy isn't someone who's going to beat her up. The bad guy is someone who is going to make bad things happen around her.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is another. We'll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's.
And then Luke Cage. Same deal. Legal trouble instead of you know, somebody threatening to beat him up because he's invulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you threaten Luke Cage with a lawsuit?
Right.
Yeah.
But there's. I was really impressed by that insight, and it makes me curious about going back into those things. And I realized that each of the defenders represent someone who is not part of the main, even where they're like, I don't know, saltine white guys. They've got someone with a physical impairment, something that we would consider to be a disability. We've got a black guy, we've got a woman detective, and then we've got someone whose immigration status is in question. And those are our four heroes in the Defenders, and that's kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of Inhumans.
All right.
Which is
way to bring back
cool. Steaming right. pile of turd. Skip it. If you are a completionist and do want to watch everything, thankfully it's only 8 episodes and you can kind of grit your teeth and get through it, and then you never have to go back to it. But
bring
it is
friends and popcorn.
And it is just so poorly acted. Like the acting is just
Marvel Science Theater.
On the other hand, Marvel's Runaways.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay, follow-up question, though.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know about Runaways either.
I feel like I've heard about it, but I don't have a brain picture.
So Marvel's Runaways is based on the comic book series of the same name, The Runaways, in which a group of teenagers discover that their parents are bad guys.
Yes.
Sorry, you had to find out this way.
Yeah.
Are you a Google bad guy?
I mean, sometimes.
Their parents are members of this organization called Pride, who are bad guys, and it's one couple is like in control of the mafia, and another couple are aliens from another planet, and another couple are wizards, and another couple are but they're all just they're evil, and they're doing bad things and killing runaways. And their kids are like, nay, this shall not stand, and kind of do what they can to go toe to toe with their parents and things like that. Some with various magical abilities and some not. We've got the stereotypical jock lacrosse player who's actually super smart and builds a set of fists that like shoot lasers and stuff like that. You've got the one woman who sparkles and can shoot beams of light out of her hands. You've got one woman who, when she's under a lot of stress, basically becomes the Hulk. It becomes super, super strong.
That one's me.
You've got one person who is psychologically linked to a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like a velociraptor that she can control with her mind. One of them is the daughter of the wizards is a wizard herself, so she can do magic and stuff like that.
Sure.
And it's just basically these kids trying to be teenagers discovering this secret about their parents and going, what the fuck do we do? Like, we're kids.
We gotta stop them.
Yeah, we've got to do, but at the same time, they're their parents.
Right.
And they love them, and they're like, and they're trying to be teenagers, and like, in the very first episode, one of the girls is like having like menstrual cramps and stuff like that, and she's dealing with that on top of everything else, and it's just kind of like you're dealing with teenager things, and your parents are bad guys, and you're like, this is the right thing to do, but it's my dad, and so there's a lot going on there, and it's I'm enjoying it a great deal.
All right.
Awesome.
You didn't like it, James?
I watched, I want to say, I've seen probably 4 episodes throughout the series, and it was not my most favorite.
That's fair. I mean, did any particular reason, or?
Well, it struck me as being a lot like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in that I found the plot twists were pretty obvious.
I feel like Marvel leans into that a lot. They're like, these are comic book stories. They're very comic book.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Surprise.
But, no, I understand.
Right. That's fair.
Is it one of those things where they're like, here's a hint. Here's a hint. Here's a hint. And then you're supposed to be surprised when it happens?
Yeah, it's about, I want to say, like the third time that they bludgeon me over the head with something that I go, oh, okay, all right, well then this is going to happen. But also, just an example from Agent Carter is that, is it Howard Stark? Howard Stark walks with somebody into a hangar and is like, look at all of these things. And I was like, oh, she's a spy. And then looked over and was like, oh, yeah, she is. And I was like, yes, of course. Why?
that's obvious. The show wasn't trying to hide that.
Well, I walked in for that moment. I had seen nothing before of that character, but there was something about that moment where I was like, I know exactly what's happening. And there's just something about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., about Agent Carter, about Runaways, about a couple of other shows where it just... It isn't that it fails to surprise me, it's that... I don't know, it just isn't... It doesn't feel as cleverly written as I would like it to be.
I think you're...
Oh, well,
I think you're thinking,
I recommend
DuckTales, I love.
I feel like you're thinking that they're going to try to be clever when they're not trying to be clever. They're just trying to be a comic book.
But I've also seen, like, Daredevil... was barring like in the first 2 seasons Daredevil
but I mean the Netflix the Street Level Heroes series is a different thing. Like all those Netflix ones, they were going for darker, grittier, more realistic. That's what they were going for.
Like I don't know, the Punisher.
Yeah, like Punisher, Jessica Jones, clearly this was supposed to be more adult, more heavy-hitting, more, you know, gritty and realistic. Whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, Runaways, those are CW. You know, they're not going for gritty.
I think I figured
it out.
They're
not going for gritty realistic. They're going for fun for all ages.
Okay, so when I watch Father Brown Mysteries or Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, right? Those things, they're obvious to me. I can see the hints that they're dropping. I know what the solution is going to be almost always, or at least I know what the key elements of the solution are going to be to the murder mystery. And, you know, what things are red herrings, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't feel tropey in the same way that I feel like if I just having watched other shows before, that there's a language to it that tells me the story that they're already going to tell.
So you think it's more of just like a writing thing that they all write the same?
Yes, but it I don't know. It's
I think I kind of pick up what you're saying. Like, it's kind of like whenever I'm watching House. You know the formula for House. You know, it's he's going to get it wrong. He's going to get it wrong 5 minutes before the hour. They figure it out. And
but I also love Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew movies and Tom Swift and or not movies, books. I love those, and those all have exactly the same thing. They are very literally written to a formula by ghostwriters, and but there is something still like. There is just something very tropey where you're like, okay, this person did this thing, and that means all of this information, and you can extrapolate the stars in the universe from a piece of cake. You know, like that's how I feel, anyway.
It might be that they like lean on it too much. They're like, I don't know, the cinematography for that piece of cake could just be like. And then it focuses on the piece of cake, and you're like, oh shit, I know the stars of the universe.
Yep.
Because they're stressing that point. They're making it a big deal.
I think writing can be tropey, and writing can be even expected, like without twists or, you know, obvious things. But you have to have more going on for it emotionally.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of this, so I don't know.
Same. That's why I'm just like throwing out things.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to dislike a thing. I'm just like, that sounds interesting.
But like, that's what I would dislike about a thing is if I did not feel connected to, if they didn't earn my emotions and were just saying, well, I've done this, and now you should feel this thing.
And
now
that's why Inhumans was shit. because that's literally what they basically said is these are the main characters, so you're supposed to root for them, even though you have no emotional desire for them to win at all.
And even if I don't feel overly emotionally connected to them, if the characters themselves have good relationships, I can usually kind of fudge it through that.
It was like, very similar to my problem.
Yeah.
With the Justice League movie and the Teen Titans live action show.
I'm useless in all of this, but continue.
As am I.
Yeah, it's exactly what Jenna described, though. with where it's like it has all of the elements of something, but they haven't done the work. It's got the ingredients of cake, but they haven't actually baked the fucking cake. But you're still supposed to be surprised and blow the candles out, right?
Yeah. Here's some raw eggs. Eat these now. It's
right.
I would totally be okay with getting a birthday cake that was just eggs and flour and stuff like that with candles on it.
I
That's
know.
That's it. Salsa, for your next birthday, you are getting deconstructed cake.
Yes! Set yourself up for it now.
No. Do it yourself birthday cake. I'm in.
Yep.
It's an IKEA birthday cake.
No. It's like one of those cooking shows where it's like you have the eggs and the flour and you have one secret ingredient that we reveal. It's zucchini, and you have to make a cake out of zucchini.
I have a thing to talk about cooking shows, but I'm gonna wait until after the break.
All right.
And then we'll be right back. Alright, bye.
Alright,
break.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I'm a mess. I am a mess.
We're all kind of a mess right now.
Yeah.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
I continue to be Jessa.
Yay.
Yeah.
I had a couple things I wanted to say. Number one, my kids. It's clear that my kids have grown up in an age of streaming video, because they were watching TV yesterday, and they came upon a cooking show. It was Jamie Oliver's 15-minute meals. And okay. They were like, "Oh, we enjoy watching this. This is fun, you know." They're because I'm teaching both kids how to cook, and they're like, "This guy is kind of funny, and we're learning recipes, and we want to do these things, right?" So today, this afternoon, I come in, and they're like flipping through channels, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "We want to watch the cooking show." And I'm like, I don't think it's on right now, honey. And they're like, no, go. But it was one of the channels that we were on yesterday was the cooking show. So which channel was that? And it was like, that's not how live television works.
Not how that works.
You're making me feel old. God. It's so weird being on the top half of this generation. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get all of the like drawbacks of having my parent not understand newer age tech stuff, despite her being a fucking IT guru. Person.
Yep. Yeah.
I am a tech ninja in very specific areas.
A very long period of time. Watching her try to figure out how to put a Twitch stream in theater mode.
Shut up. This is accurate.
I was just like, it's this button right here. And she was like, oh, there we are.
I'm
like,
there it is.
Oh.
Yes.
What,
okay.
You gotta, for the love of Michael.
You got to put the Twitter on the Instagrams.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm trying to figure out Instagram right
she
now,
is.
Too, and it's awful.
I can't help her with that one. I don't gram.
Is that what the kids call it, Grammy?
No, they don't. I'm an old lady.
That's accurate.
That's
but so
true.
In my generation, Grammy was something else. Like,
I use technology in ways that aren't precedented, right? Because that's the newer generation stuff. We figure out how to do things. Because we've grown up in it. We just get it. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then the like lower half of my generation is just they didn't get VHS, they didn't get discs. They've been watching YouTube and Twitch and other various Netflix, other various streaming services their whole life, and they don't and in other ways, like with cell phones. I had a phone that didn't have a touchscreen on it. And I love the fuck out of that thing. Honestly. If I could go back to that model of phone where I just like it was super convenient because you put it sideways and then you flipped it or not flip you put it sideways and then you press on the bottom and the bottom moves out into a keyboard under the phone. I thought that was the coolest shit. And when my father got me a touchscreen phone, I was like, I don't like this. It's not tactile enough. I don't like it. And I still don't like typing on touchscreen keyboards. But, like, right, I'm in this weird sort of gray zone.
You are so delightful.
Get off my techno lawn.
Yeah, no, watching you get off my lawn about a Nokia is just delightful.
I'm pretty sure it was a Samsung.
I think I know which one it was, too.
This wasn't a flip phone, okay? This was a sliding phone.
Yeah.
True.
But going back, the other thing I wanted to touch on quickly.
Yes.
Remember that project I've been talking about for the past forever?
No.
Yes.
The one involving lots of physical labor and my backyard?
Yeah.
It's done!
Woo! I would be excited for you, but
my
I don't even know what we're
is
talking about.
Done. I have been.
Listeners do.
Yeah, well, I don't watch your podcast.
I have been.
Nobody watches our.
I don't
podcast.
Listen to your podcast.
I don't Instagram your Twitter cast.
That's accurate.
I don't catch your pods.
So for the past several weeks now, I have been by myself and manually installing a drainage trench and a patio in my backyard.
Ooh.
And we got a bonus garden box in the process.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. But the patio is in. It is gorgeous. It is fantastic. The thing I am most proud of is the fact that it looks like it's been there forever.
Nice.
Like, it doesn't feel new or like there's no breaking in period. It's just like, I finished on Friday, and Saturday morning we had breakfast on the patio, and it just felt natural.
Nice.
Oh, good.
Everything was seamless, and it that's what I'm the most proud of, is there was none of this, like, breaking in period. It was just, this is our patio now. And it was fantastic. Mm. So happy.
No, I get that feeling.
Yeah.
That,
like,
is excellent.
You get a new thing, but it's like, it should have been this way the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of,
nice seg.
Sweet seg.
My one of the games that I grew up on, Terraria, recently got its final update, and it's fucking huge. Because the thing is there's a lot of new features that are good. Like, they've rebalanced weapons. There's one sword that got a 2 damage bonus, which doesn't do anything. It was already bad. It continues to be bad because all of the other swords in its tier got damage bonuses that are bigger than it. That's a whole rant. one of the big things is they have a lot of quality of life improvements or just tiny tweaks that just make the experience overall better. Mm-hmm. They don't feel out of place. It feels like they should have been that way the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And what's funny is a lot of these changes were listed in the changelog as bug fixes. and there's a part of me that's like, oh, it was always intended to be this way. And there's a part of me that's like, did they just, like, are they just pretending they meant to do that all along?
Like, cat that lands on the floor and you're just like,
that reminds me of an experience that I had watching my mom play Super Mario Brothers for the Wii. Because my mom always had this habit, playing Sonic, playing Bubsy the Bobcat, Cool Spot, 1001 platformers, Sonic the Hedgehog, everything like that. Whenever there was a gap that she had to jump over, or like some kind of dangerous spiky spinning whirling blade of death obstacle, the controller would get lifted up, like, as part of your assisting.
I did that.
You're assisting the character in jumping.
If you say you didn't do that, you're lying.
I did it first, but I realized that it didn't do anything, and I stopped.
Well, of course it doesn't do anything, but you still do it.
But my mom was playing the Super Mario Brothers for Wii, and I was watching her do this. This was like a year or two ago. And she goes to jump over a gap, and she almost doesn't make it. And she's just shy of the ledge, and she gives it like that little, And the character gets a third jump.
And he spins, yep.
And like, woo, like spins and lands down. And she, like, paused and stopped and set the controller down, and she was like, I have been waiting for that.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it's that thing that you're already doing, that thing that you expected to be there.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
But yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Terraria recently. It's been a blast.
Nice.
I enjoy it. There's a new...
That's kind of like Stellaris and Stardew Valley, right? Where it's like you start with nothing and you kind of build up...
Oh, yeah.
Your equipment and your machines, and you recover artifacts and things like that in order to help make things...
The way I would describe it is a 2D side-scrolling RPG. It is it is an RPG. It doesn't have a skill system, and in fact, it's very loose in its class definitions.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the reasons I love it so much, is because you can be a mage and use a sword. Your sword just isn't quite as effective because all of your armor is to boost your magic damage, right?
Gotcha.
But so there's... It's people... When it released, people always compared it to Minecraft because Minecraft was the big thing at that time.
Right.
And there's still some jokes here and there where it's like, it's 2D Minecraft. But where Minecraft focuses more on the building, the creation, the... amassing large amounts of materials and then making stuff out of that. Terraria has some of that, but it focuses more on the combat, on the exploration, on finding things to do. And that's why it's always appealed to me over Minecraft, because as much as I like Minecraft for what it is, there's all of it feels known. Even with Terraria, I can understand that the Eye of Cthulhu, the first boss in the game, on Expert Mode, has an extra phase where he goes, and he goes in this zigzag pattern after you. But every time I do that fight, it's just a little bit different because I have different stuff. I'm playing a mage this time, which means that I'm using a staff. I'm playing a warrior this time, which means that I'm trying to hit it with swords. And throw boomerangs at it. I'm playing ranged this time, which means that I've got a gun. And it's just overall, it feels different because the worlds are always different. You're always going to build different structures and arenas and all of that. And I just always love a good varied game. I love when I have options, and Terraria does that.
I just like building a Terraria bunker. I'm putting beds
in. A little dirt hole.
Yeah.
You might also really enjoy Stellaris, based on...
I've never...
It sounds fairly similar, but you also you have a little spaceship to tend to.
Well, that's also... Starbound is a game that is very, very similar to Terraria.
I think that's the one I'm thinking of, actually.
But in space.
Yeah. Stellaris may be something completely different, and I just have those titles mixed up.
Fair. Yeah, you said Stellaris, and I'm like, I don't think that's... Like, I don't remember that being in
this
the
word.
Pool.
I do not think it means what you think it means.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Starbound is a thing, and you've got a little ship, and the thing is with Starbound is the customization's not really there. Like, it's very similar to Terraria, but in just some certain very specific ways, I'm just like, I can't. You are always a protectorate in Starbound. You are always one of the basically paladins of the stars.
Sure.
In Terraria, you can be whatever the fuck, because nobody tells you what you are. There's no set story. It's just, you do these things in a certain order because that's how the game progresses, and you explore and you learn new things and get new items you've never seen before, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the...
Keep going.
But so the... That sense of owning your character and what you're doing isn't quite there.
Being self-directed,
Yeah. So that's one of the things I didn't like about Starbound. There's a bunch of other weird, janky stuff about it that is just not quite, but... Yeah, I love me some side-scrolling RPGs. Specifically this one, which got an update, and that's all I've been doing for the past, like, 2 days.
Awesome.
I see. So do you just...
You spent this entire time digging underground.
So, not all of it. Sometimes I'm building things above ground.
Okay.
So do you just build forever? Or is there an end game? Or is there, like, there is
an end game, although you do build a whole lot. Basically, there is a progression. You go underground, you get ore to craft armor. You fight the Eye of Cthulhu, which is the first boss.
Right.
After you defeat the Eye of Cthulhu, he drops you Demonite. Demonite allows you to make a Demonite pick, which means that you can then go into the Corruption, which is an evil biome that tries to kill you constantly. Hmm.
It opens the gate to the
You can now mine the stone in the Corruption in order to break the orbs.
Sure.
You break the orbs, you get good loot, and you fight the Eater of Worlds, who's this giant, giant worm that is segmented. And if you break one of the segments, it splits into two different worms. And it basically progresses like this until you eventually destroy some kind of cosmic celestial being called the Moon Lord.
The Moon Lord.
And it's not Star Lord.
Seems like a swank gig to get if the job's open.
It's not really explained why you're doing any of these things. You just do them because that's the way the game progresses.
Yeah.
And while you're doing this, you're upgrading your equipment, you're building houses for the NPCs. Now in the most recent update, you have to build them little towns. So you have to put them in certain areas. They like to be with other NPCs and don't like to be with others.
Oh,
you got to manage your happiness.
You're developing a class caste system amongst your people, huh?
That kind of reminds me of Dark Cloud.
You're putting together the different neighborhoods, and we don't talk to people from that part of town.
Oh my God, would you stop redlining?
No, it's just that some of them don't happen to get along. And so maybe the demolitionist and the arms dealer shouldn't both live next door if they kill each other.
And then next comes gentrification.
No.
And then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the baby carriage.
No. No, oh, God.
Wait.
No.
Huh.
But yeah, so when you mention, like, things just feeling like they should have been, that's what this update is, and it feels so good to have this childhood thing just be like, now it all fits.
Yeah.
Really weird to hear you talk about childhood.
I know, right?
I'm an adult.
I know. Technically. That's weird.
Technically.
Was I an adult the last time I was on the podcast?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
You've been an adult for the past couple of times you've been on the
technically.
Podcast.
Technically.
Yes, technically.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I've always been an old lady.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
You were born a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. You were an old lady when I knew you at the age of 2.
This is accurate, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that what you wanted to talk about? You said you wanted to...
Yes, that was what I wanted to talk about.
You segued it so well.
No, it was so smooth, I wasn't sure if you were just talking about that or if that was what you actually wanted to talk about.
My daughter is pro and way too...
No, again, I've known her since she was 2. She's always been this good at everything, and it's kind of annoying.
Geez, Salta, I really feel for you, and I don't know how it must be to get compared in a very real sense.
Hey, James?
Yeah.
James.
Yes.
When was the last time you beat Jess at vilification tennis?
I think never. I think never is the accurate answer there.
No? No?
Yeah.
I feel like I've faced up against you twice before I retired, and I got spanked both times, so...
You chased Salsa out of vilification tennis.
I apparently chased a lot of people out of vilification tennis. You, Salsa, Mark.
No, I just got old. I love the idea that you chased Mark out of vilification
tennis. I'm okay with that.
That delights me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
I like that concept. That's what I'm going to. I'm 100% certain I am not the reason he quit vilification tennis. But I want to think I am.
Fair
Jess
enough.
Fitz killer.
Yes. Conqueror of the Lizard Show.
First of her name.
Yes. Yeah. God. There's a thing where, like, okay, so I had Jessa when I was really young, right? I was 20 when I had Jessa. Mm-hmm. That's really young to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it worked out well.
Mm-hmm. We got there.
Yeah, she's a wonderful person. I enjoy her. She's capable and you know,
sure.
Of good character. And
all those adjectives. Yeah.
Please do keep going.
Also, she's funny and she's a sarcastic.
No, I was joking.
but.
Also, she really knows how to take a compliment.
God damn it.
She gets that from her mother.
Accurate.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but I had Justin when I was 20. So all of my friends have been having children over the past, like, I'm going to say 5 to 7 years.
It's so weird.
And so, like, my friends that are my age have children. Like, actual children, not even babies, children, not teenagers, children, not preteens, children. They have children, like actual children.
Not.
And I have an adult.
Children.
What? You cut out a little bit for me.
It's okay. What was that? A James thing, so.
Oh, good.
Yes.
But I'm gonna kill you. Good.
I said not bratwursts. Yes.
Anyway, but I don't know. Don't explore this, Jessica.
You're the one who's been doing the podcast. I'm going to trust you on that.
Right, James can't see you if you don't react, so just...
So anyway, but like, all my friends have children, and I have a young adult. Right, I have an actual adult, actually.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when people say young adult, they mean teenager, and that's not accurate, although it is. Technically, for another couple of months. But yeah, I have an actual adult. And it gets really interesting, like, talking about milestones and things like that. Every once in a while, also will say something about one of his children having a tantrum, and I'm like, Oh, I don't miss that at all. Mm-hmm.
My favorite part about being older is now I get to talk about sex, and my mother can be like, "Oh, I don't. Oh, God. Oh,
God damn it."
Revenge. Sunrise.
Well, I mean, Jessa did get about 17 different sex talks during her course of growing up. But relative to the
one
age
per year.
Every time she asked a question, I would answer it, and sometimes it required some backstory. And earlier, it was very simplified, although still using appropriate medical terms.
Right.
Sure.
I've always
sure.
felt that was important.
It is.
I feel educated.
Here, yeah.
Yeah. But she's had probably about 17, 18 different sex talks over the course of her life, so. It's certainly not weird having your mom talk about sex all the time. Sex.
It doesn't weird me out as much as it weirds you out.
I know. It weirds me out now.
I love you.
Damn it. I mean, I'm glad that you're an adult and a sexual being, but I don't want to think about it.
Go ahead.
Speaking of video game updates, to go back to
thank you.
Video
oh my god,
that
I never
grew up with.
James was talking. And here we are. Please.
Speaking of video game updates, when a man and a woman love each other.
No. Get out. Son of a bitch.
They play video games together.
It's true.
A
video game from my childhood, Streets of Rage, just came up with a brand new update. Streets 4 is out and available. Streets of Rage was a kind of a big deal for me.
Yeah.
It was a video game that I played through, I want to say, several dozen times. Like, I've probably played that game at least 100 times, not hyperbolically, from start to finish.
I believe this.
I believe it.
And it's because my sister loved to play that game, the other neighborhood kids, as much as we had five of them in my neighborhood, because it was a rural community. That we all loved playing that game, and I have been waiting for, I think, pretty easily 20 years, and then some.
So you mean Justice Age?
Right. For a new Streets of Rage to come out, and it is glorious. And one of my favorite things about it is that you can set it to retro mode, so that it has scan lines and cathode ray tube dots instead of having instead of having like just clean LCD 4K. And you can set it to the older music, which is fantastic. But they've introduced new characters, and they're great. They've introduced new moves and things like that, and those are super fun. It is a solid game, and I am so ridiculously pleased.
What platform is it for?
I believe it's for a bunch of different platforms. I think it's for Xbox One, PS4, or Nintendo Switch.
Okay.
And you can play it online with friends, but I believe it is platform locked. So Xbox to Xbox,
right?
PS4 to PS4.
This makes sense.
Yeah. So I got to play that with Stefan Senpai and Awfulcopter co-host Barry, Big Bear Hart, and Bart.
So,
and we had a blast.
I've heard of the name, but I don't know the genre. I believe it's a side scroller beat 'em up.
It is. That's exactly right.
Okay, cool.
So
I got
you'd
it right.
Be familiar with like you'd be familiar with like the Scott Pilgrim video game, and it it is the precursor to the Scott Pilgrim video game.
Right.
Yeah, and so, it's halfway between Scott Pilgrim and like Double Dragon. I want to say, as far as complexity.
Or the Simpsons game that was at the roller rink when I was growing up.
More complicated than that, weirdly.
Ninja Turtles?
Ninja
Turtles is another one. Never played that one, because fuck that.
That one was my jam, and I was Donatello, and
this one,
shut your fucking whore mouth.
The originals of this one ran off of the Golden Axe engine, if you've played any of the Golden Axe games.
I have no idea.
Those were also classic Sega games, and we also played Golden Axe 2 a lot.
Hmm. All right. Well, your nerd runs deep.
but having Streets of Rage 4, and it looks good, and the characters that are brought back are like visibly older. Like the main character Axel is now like old man Axel, so it's very satisfying. If you like side scrolling,
Axel.
So it's sort of like the thing they did with Mortal Kombat, where all the characters have kids, except they did it better.
Yes. Yeah. I'm gonna go with yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, James, is you really, really like this game, and you waited around for other people to make it instead of making it yourself. Lazy.
Delightful.
Pretty much.
This pleases me.
No, it's... yeah. Frustrating, because I didn't have anything growing up.
Aww.
No. My parents didn't
have a bad childhood.
I did. No, my parents didn't believe. Well, here's the thing. My parents didn't believe in video game consoles, but they were also forward enough looking to realize that computers were the future.
Yeah.
Sure. So like we had one of the first personal computers in my hometown.
Wow.
Like,
which was still 5 years out of date by the time it got there.
Oh, no, probably, but this was back in, like, 86 or something like that, where my parents were like, we're going to have a PC in our house, because that is
nice.
You know.
So you're telling me text adventures.
Whoa, yeah.
I fucking love text adventures. They're great. Oh,
absolutely, my God. Yeah, I played a lot of text adventures, but all of the video games that I played growing up were computer games. So you know, and so everybody else was playing Mario, and I was playing King's Quest and Space Quest games like that. So that is really what I grew up playing, and so what you know a lot of the video games that you talk about, you know, growing up, you know, the Ninja Turtles and the Streets of Rage and stuff like that. I didn't have that. I had use everything in your pocket with everything else in your pocket because something might go together.
It was almost the same for me.
The door key and the toilet paper? What?
It was almost the same for me. Jenna, go ahead.
I too had a lot of computer games versus like actual consoles for the first portion of my youth. Karateka, by the way, was incredible. And I know that was more Commodore 64, but there was a similar version of it in Apple IIe, and it was delightful. However, also, Wishbringer, never finished it, and I'm very, very sad. Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Another incredible one.
Yeah.
With the lovely MIDI siren. Meaner.
See, when I was probably 10 or 12, somewhere in that age range, we got a PC with Windows, and the old Apple IIe went into the hog shed, into the
for them to
shed.
Use.
And that was but that computer was used for business. That was for you know, spreadsheets and stuff for hog weights and sale prices and stuff like that. That was the business computer. But
so that the hogs could play Oregon Trail.
But that was the computer that had solitaire on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we would often go out to the hog shed to play solitaire.
That's adorable. So the one thing that I want to, cause I think this will bring it back around. So I don't remember what game Joe was playing, but, it was like over Christmas time, like right after Christmas, when we came back from Casey, we brought his friend Matt back with us. Uh-huh. And so the two of them were playing one of the games on Joe's Xbox, and they got to a certain, and like Joe's friend Matt was trying to include me, and I'm just not. I really wasn't just super into the game that they were playing. I enjoyed watching it, but I didn't feel the need to play it. And at a certain point, he was like, okay, I have an idea. And he gets the character up to this computer. And he types in a thing, and suddenly the character has hacked the computer. And it is now a game within a game. In which you've broken into the computer, and you have just a command prompt. And you can then, if you know the correct commands, launch different text-based games.
Awesome.
We were not eaten by a group.
I was just about to ask that.
I know. We east, west, south, north, go, whatever, things like that. And I just started going. I think I would have continued to play it more if I was at an actual keyboard and not having to move over and select each
with a
letter.
Controller keyboards.
That was frustrating.
The change for me, the reason that we got video games at all, was that we took a trip to California and my mom got addicted to playing Super Mario. And then suddenly my parents are for video games and it's fine for us to have them.
Yeah.
My parents were both fucking nerds. My dad played World of Warcraft while I was growing up. My first memories of playing games are playing games that he had played. World of Warcraft, Team Fortress 2.
Oh, wow.
I technically started World of Warcraft back in Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah.
I'm a veteran now.
Oh,
I grew up on it.
I don't know if you remember this, but I did build you your own Hangman game. that you could put in spelling words for from your second grade spelling list. It was clunky. It was super clunky. But it started as my senior project for college.
Oh, nice.
All
right. Right. So, anyway, yeah.
But yeah, so I grew up surrounded by this stuff. Oh, yeah, my mom is a computer person, and she just brought back laptops.
Curse you. Well, we should probably wrap this up. We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Let people, you know, use the faculties.
Oh, God, he's so proud.
Yes, I know. Okay. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
We fuck around. This isn't like fucking Mark Maron or something.
I thought you guys were professional.
And we're back.
Hi,
I'm Salsa.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm Jenna.
I'm continue to be Jessa.
Yay!
Jeez.
I really debated saying that I'm no longer Jessa, but that would be a lie, and I don't want to lie to you all.
I appreciate that. Like that you continue to exist. I feel like that's my only job as your parent, is to make sure that you continue to exist.
I mean, it would be really awkward if I just popped out of existence.
Oh, God. Oh,
fully grown like Hera.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
You know what has sprung fully grown off of the internet, though?
What's that?
A Fast Five.
Fast Five?
Yes, today's Fast Five comes to us from Dennis Zastara.
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 Zastara. Zastara. Zastara.
The more people joined in, the more out of sync it got.
Oh, that's awful.
Hooray.
Oh, God, yeah. You're welcome, Dennis.
But
you did this to us. Dennis starts out by saying, "Dear, oh James, you're going to love this. Dearest my lords and lady."
Oh, you son of a bitch. Or
Person of a bitch.
Yeah, you person of a bitch. Although I call chicks son of a bitch too, so let's be clear. You person of a bitch, however.
Dennis writes, "How fare thee on this beautiful spring eve? Or is it more like a summer's eve? Air regardless..." And yes, I know that's not a word and horribly misspelt, but say let me. "I come to you tonight to ask these questions 5. Proceed at your leisure."
Oh, I'm so glad it's 5 and not 15.
All right. Question number 1. Ooh, here we go. Apropos. Question number 1.
Where's the thing?
Right there.
There we are.
Getting old here. This one doesn't have instructions not to ding, so there.
Oh, so you're dinging.
I dinged!
You barely.
He dung.
That's the last minute. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Was that so goddamn hard?
Yes.
Apparently.
Question number 1. Legend of Zelda.
Oh.
Oh my fucking God.
Or Metroid.
Oh.
Ooh.
What had more of an impact on my childhood? And I'm going to go Metroid.
I got to go with Metroid because I like Samus a lot.
Yeah.
Big gay.
Big gay.
Honestly, big gay.
Okay, but that's still both for me.
Metroid kept doing something. Legend of Zelda, I felt, just bogged me down. I was...
my god.
I'm not a legend. I'm not a Zelda person.
I'm not a Zelda person, and I still understand that there were some definite changes to the formula.
I think I understand the issue here. Metroid is a study in loneliness, and Zelda has side quests about helping people, and one of those is inherently salsa, and the other one is helping people.
I don't know why everyone's laughing. I agree.
Oh, God.
That's why we have James on the podcast. All right.
All right. Yes.
But I mean, again, we're going back to not having this as a kid. You know what? If I was going to play either Legend of Zelda or Metroid, it was at my cousin's house. And with Metroid, I could boot it up and I could play and I'm shooting shit. And I'm in it. With Legend of Zelda, it was like you start out with nothing and you've got to like figure out how to get fucking places and you've got to wander around and figure out how to.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly.
I want to shoot some shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm totally down with Metroid.
What if it's a question of soundtrack?
I understand the importance of Legend of Zelda soundtracks, but I've always been more of a sci-fi gal, so then I would still have to go with Metroid. So Metroid's got some really fucking good shit.
Oh yeah. If you are not already aware of an artist named Stemmage doing a series of albums called Metroid Metal, you fucking should be.
Okay.
I will have to look this up.
I think I have to go with Zelda.
To the surprise of no one.
Right.
Yeah, like, obviously.
Right.
If it is a soundtrack question.
Nothing less.
James, what are you wearing right this second?
Oh, yeah. I am wearing a Zelda shirt.
Yeah, yeah okay.
Question number two.
And Salsa's wearing a Breath of the Wild jersey.
Or are we dinging twice for all of them now?
No, that was just to rub it into Jenna's nose.
Yeah.
Salsa's kind of an asshole. I don't know if you knew this.
Kind of?
Question number two. Stage or screen?
Stage or screen?
I gotta go with stage. There's always been something about an empty theater that has just resonated so much with me, being able to stand on the stage and just look out and be like, here is all this potential.
Whereas an empty screen is just kind of nut.
Yeah, yeah. but even then, like, movie sets aren't built the same way. No. There is this sense of awe, but it's different, you know?
Yeah. Jessa is my daughter, and I am in agreement with her. Like, this is This just happens to be a thing that we share.
I wonder if the context might be something like, in a video game, do you prefer video games where everything is all in one place and you move through it screen by screen? Mm. Or do you prefer the world to be broken up in stages? Because stages are like a platformer or side scroller kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like platformer.
When I think of screens, I think of like Mega Man. Like when you move past a certain threshold and the screen goes, over. Okay, we're over here now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So like I don't know. It feels weird to compare stages, which are like the whole Mega Man level, to screens, which are chunks of a Mega Man level.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm thinking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was but also
Yeah.
I think
could go back a little bit.
I'm gonna go stage.
Yeah.
All the world's a stage.
Yeah. I've only done screen once and it was a lot of fun, but stage is.
Yeah.
I've done both, and I guess if I was going to be acting, I would probably do screen because it would be easier for me to memorize a small chunk of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
because my memory can't anymore because of the hits to the head. I am more likely to have a screen bit, but I do more directing now anyway, and overall I prefer directing. Well, I like directing in any form.
Yeah,
I love telling people what to do, but I do prefer stage. So
I think I'm going to go with stage as well, because when you see a performance in on screen, maybe I have to go with screen. Okay, if you're going to show somebody something, you can show them the DVD of it, and it will always have the same impact. It will always have the same nuances and performance. Even though I love that every night of a stage performance has different nuances to the performance and something new is discovered. But if I wanted to show somebody the Speed the Plow performance that I saw 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, I would have to find all of those same actors and remount that specific version with that director again.
But that's the thing, though, too, is that still wouldn't be the same. That still would not be the exact same experience you have. And I think that's why I love stage so much, because it feels more real. You're there. You're in the moment. You get to watch the actors in physical space. Mm-hmm. It's a very different experience.
Well, and it also doesn't make the assumption that it's shared from night to night.
Mm.
Where I think movies can, and that can be a falsehood because people come into it with different context.
Ah.
I think when you are in a stage setting, yes, everybody's coming into it with different context from the offset, but a whole portion of the live theater scene is to be able to build a shared context and build a shared experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still stage. Like, obviously, yeah.
Team stage.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's everybody to James right now.
I mean, that's your.
That's goal. Normally how it goes. Yeah.
Question number three. Tiger or lion? The eye of the lion.
Wait a minute.
Which Altered Beast stage was your favorite? No. Maybe it's which Thundercat is best?
I don't know Thundercats at all, so. That was definitely.
Yeah, the clear answer is Panthro, but I guess Lion-O.
I think lions are beautiful and majestic, but tigers, just, I love the striped coat. I think they're just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I love lions because they got the big poofy manes. They're adorable little fuzzballs of death. They're so poofy.
600
pounds. They're angry all the time. They're I'm going with lions.
All right. You cut out there, Jenna. What did you say?
Tiger.
Tiger. All right, James.
I'm gonna say tiger because of Tiger Millionaire.
Okay.
Aww.
What's that?
That's adorable.
It's a Steven Universe reference.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number four. Mischief or malfeasance?
Ah.
Wait, one more time?
Mischief or malfeasance?
Malfeasance.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Right.
Malfeasance.
The second option is malfeasance.
I want you all to know that Jenna's currently flipping salsa off. Visual jokes on an audio podcast.
Bing. Malfeasance is incapability. Stupidity and lack of
So a lack of feasibility.
Capacity, yeah. Yes.
Oh, I've been injured way more times based off of that one than the other.
Malfeasance? Sure.
Yeah. Way more people have harmed me out of stupidity or non-intent rather than ill-intent.
Merriam-Webster defines it as wrongdoing or misconduct, especially by a public official.
Oh.
I feel, personally, I feel like...
I learned something today.
I feel like...
I mean, it might be a connotation thing.
Yeah. I feel like mischief is a more benign form. You know, it's doing things for fun but not really doing damage, where I feel like malfeasance is actual, like, dire consequences.
Cruelty,
yeah, exactly. Whereas I feel like mischief is a little bit more fun loving and
puckish.
Yeah.
It feels to me like it's more like a difference between sort of a classy take and more of a, like, rough around the edges. Mm. If you're off to cause mischief, you know you're causing trouble. You are aware of that. Whereas malfeasance, if you're being
more neglectful,
I think it's more that, like, it's not a make it up as we go kind of thing. If you are malfeasant language, you're planning to do it. It's thought out. You're classy about it. But if you're making mischief, you're just off to cause trouble. So it's more of a spontaneous thing versus a refined planned thing. Mm. And I like mischief better. I just think it's a fun word.
Sure.
So I'm going with mischief.
I mean, if you're going to cause problems, do it with intent.
Malicious compliance.
Don't just stumble upon them.
Is malicious compliance mischief or malfeasance?
I'd say it's malfeasance.
I would too.
That feels like the genie in the lamp. It's like, you got what you wanted.
You got what you asked for.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it's not what you wanted. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I think I'm gonna go with mischief
if it was like a fae creature who is like, how can I twist these words? That feels more mischief.
Okay.
All right, so I've decided it's between Puck or the Djinn.
Well, let me throw this into the mix.
And let me finish my thought, though. I did date a guy in high school who played Puck, so I'm going to go with mischievous.
You had a date like that once.
I literally had a date like that once. A couple of times, and, like, you know, didn't
quite
work out.
According to Cornell Law School, malfeasance is intentional conduct that is wrongful or unlawful, especially by officials or public employees. Malfeasance is at a higher level of wrongdoing than nonfeasance, which is failure to act when there was a duty to act, or misfeasance, conduct that is unlawful, or that is lawful but inappropriate.
You just named Joe. So
misfeasance.
I think that's Joe's drag name.
Lawful but inappropriate.
Yeah, no, misfeasance. I feel like mischief and misfeasance are kind of the synonyms there, where it's legal. It's legal, but maybe inappropriate. Whereas,
the other thing is, like, mischief is, you know, we're at the point after Fest has closed for the day where we turn the lights off at the booth, we fill our mugs up, and we go wander around looking for, you know, harmless trouble.
Mischief.
Like mischief.
Right.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a very different thing. I once bought, you know, a canister of Country Time lemonade and brought it into the Walmart Tire and Lube Express where I worked in order to secretly pour it into the giant water cooler so that it would we had lemonade instead of water. And that's like harmless mischief.
There we go. We got back around to it. Okay.
I was versus like
because you were talking about Booth and then suddenly Country yeah. Time Lemonade. And it
if I
entirely
if I did something that made the lemonade or that made the water taste awful, then I think that would be closer to malfeasance than mischief. It'd be like maliciously pranking someone.
Yeah. All right.
I think mischief is what I like best.
All right. Question 5. Bratwurst or chicken wings?
Chicken wings.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay, so what is the place with the dick-shaped food? New Bohemia.
What? Where the fuck did this come from?
New Bohemia has bratwurst. Like, that's what they do, is bratwurst.
Most of Jenna's life is in relation to the dicks.
Nope.
So
it's not even a me thing. Every time I was talking about the place, Joe would say, "Oh, the place with the dick shape."
Okay, but that's also Joe. There's a reason you two are together.
Oh, very much so. So anyway, but they did have a delightful apple turkey bratwurst that I liked.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
Yeah. But. Aside from that, I'm not a huge bratwurst person. Chicken wings can come in, like we're talking like the tiny naan on them, like bar food wings.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there are so many flavors and so many options and so many ways of doing them, and they're delightful. And I love wings.
James,
yeah. I think until I have tasted and enjoyed gummy bear wings. I think bratwursts have to be the winner.
If you have not had gummy bear bratwurst, you're missing out.
You are.
Gummy bear.
In a bratwurst here and everywhere.
The look that Jess is giving us right now is the same look that we had, and then we tried them, and we went,
yes.
I can see clearly now.
Truly, yeah.
I guess I gotta be filled in on this at some point.
You gotta try. It sounds weird, but legitimately pretty fucking good.
Yep. We I was glad to introduce Meat Club to Gummy Bear Brats.
Yep.
I've never been a big fan of chicken. I don't know what it is. It's just not quite there for me. I don't know if it's because of the way that it falls apart in a particular way. It's very good. Like, chicken is a good food. I will eat it.
Uh-huh.
It's never bad. I just don't like it that much. I don't seek out chicken. I'm not like, I gotta have chicken. I need
chicken. If chicken happens at you, you're fine.
Right.
But it's not something that
sure.
you go looking
for. Yeah, exactly.
Fair.
Meanwhile, bratwurst it's a very specific thing that just like the texture and mm-hmm. the way that they're grilled often, that is just I just like them. And I can't explain to you why. I just like bratwurst.
You don't need to, everybody knows.
I am very particular about my bratwurst, but yes, I do understand it.
I'm leaving these jokes on the table for other people. But I also I agree. The first time I had haggis, it was a haggis brat, and it was amazing.
Sacrilege.
Yes, delicious sacrilege.
In a shoot stomach that has been scraped out by a 9-year-old. That 9-year-old being me. It was amazing. Shut your face. Go.
Salsa.
Okay. So I had buffalo wings in Buffalo, New York, and they were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Did you buffalo?
I did buffalo.
Oh.
Side note, you can't see it because podcast, but like both times everybody else in the call just sort of moved their hand like they were counting the number to make sure it was correct.
Yeah.
Because you all are assholes and would pedantically point out that the other person got it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I was put that way. But on purpose because Buffalo.
But I agree with Jessa. I'm not a big chicken person. I like chicken. I like boneless chicken.
Huh.
I have a weird thing about bones.
I don't trust you anymore.
I have no problem with ribs or a T-bone
or
lamb shank or anything like ham. I have no problem with any of these. But when it comes to chicken, like, I am weirded by, like, a drumstick. I like eat the large chunks of meat around the thick part of a drumstick, and then that's kind of as far as I can get.
Because
once
God,
you start getting into the bone and the gristle and the tendons and the stuff like... No, I can't... just thinking about it is kind of making my skin crawl a little bit. Something about chicken bones, and I'm pretty good with chicken wings. I can do a pretty good job on them, but even then, if you look at my chicken wings compared to other people's chicken wings when I'm done, theirs are way cleaner than mine, because you can't see it, but I'm my skin's kind of crawling right now. So
there's always this sort of anxiety, this worry in the back of my mind when I'm eating chicken wings that I will bite into a bone, snap it in half, and like ingest some of it. And I don't know why, but just the concept of that, because the bones are so thin.
It's
right.
It's not even the bone itself. It's the cartilage and the ligament and the stuff that goes around it that just kind of creeps me out.
But if I could suck the marrow out of a chicken bone, I fucking would.
I will do that to a pork roast or a beef side. Like, give me. I will.
I don't like. I don't like bone in ham. I don't like bone in pork.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes me weird, but like I would rather have a chicken bone than I would a pig bone.
I'm with Salsa on this one.
I know.
So, anyway,
I eat food. I like it.
I'm picky.
And, I mean, you know me. I eat most
That's okay.
things without complaint. There's just this one thing that kind of makes me go. Anyway,
I don't
think
I've ever seen you get squicked out by something.
You really don't very often. This is like the one time.
Yeah. Huh.
Anyway, Dennis.
Well,
wraps
this... I will eat your chicken bones.
All right, Dennis wraps this up by saying,
Salsa.
Dennis wraps this up by saying, I bid you a brief adieu, Dennis. Now we open up the second email, because we're still on the first goddamn one.
Wait, these are supposed to be fast?
I know, right? Dennis says, hello again, my apropos. Ooh, I like that.
Oh,
I know.
That's good.
Here are some context for the previous queries I've submitted.
Uh-huh.
Question number one, Legend of Zelda or Metroid? Which eponymous character is a better role model for young children?
Wait.
Ooh.
Oh, Jess, I think you said it out loud earlier.
Hmm?
Wait, so eponymous character would mean that it's either Zelda or the Metroids.
What?
And not Link or Samus. Because an eponym is that which is named after the thing.
You're an eponym.
Eponymous would be like an album that is named after the band. Like They Might Be Giants album, They Might Be Giants, is eponymous.
Yes.
Good.
And the hippopotamus is a big round animal.
And a Zippo is just a little lighter. So the...
oh, God damn it, I hate you.
So
I'm going to go, honestly, I think
get
I'm going to go with...
Get out.
I think I got to go with
Link. I think they might have meant titular character. but that's still Zelda or Metroids.
I think Link. I gotta switch to Link.
Yeah? Hmm.
If it's Zelda or Metroids, then it would be Zelda. If it is Link versus Samus...
Okay.
Samus.
See, I agree with that. I think Zelda's a pretty good role. Like, especially the newer Zelda, where she's, like, actually doing shit and wearing pants. That's exciting. She's wearing pants. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just like that.
Does she not wear pants in the other games?
She wears
She wears dresses.
I've only ever played the first
one. And there's nothing wrong with wearing a dress.
Right, exactly.
Honestly, it's the way that she carries herself while she's wearing dresses as opposed to
I've only ever played the first one, so I couldn't.
But if it's between Link and Samus, I have to go with Samus, because as much as I like Link, he represents a very particular part of a three-part system.
Oh.
He does not have the wisdom. He does not have the power. All he has is the will to go and do it. Meanwhile, Samus is very versatile. She's got lots of different equipment to do different things. She has, like, an overall sense of bravery, of kindness.
Mm.
And... I think she is more versatile and embodies more good traits than Link does.
What is the story of the first Metroid? Or any of the Metroids, really. What is the story?
You are a space bounty hunter sent to a planet, I think it's the planet Zebes.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're already talking about a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And, like, whereas I feel like Link is on this, like, noble quest. And I also am speaking as somebody who does not know much about either game.
Yeah.
I fully admit that. I just base purely on what I know, which is not much. I feel like the more noble, storyline is mm-hmm. the Link one.
They both have really good characteristics for kids. Mm-hmm. Link is very helpful to everyone that he meets, which I think, you know, looking for the opportunity to better the world around you and to assist others is a great trait to pass on to kids who are essentially sociopaths until a particular age where they begin to empathize.
You killed my daughter.
I'm so sorry.
You are ruined.
Prepare to die.
You're perfect work, Shane. God damn you.
Other...
I don't like kids, so when you said that, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it teaches them to think about what they can do to improve the lives of others around them, and that is beneficial to them in their quest. But then, like, Samus also is the best bounty hunter and is clever and strong and self-sufficient and... shocked gamers by being a woman.
That.
So.
Yeah, that right there. Mm-hmm. The idea. Okay. I'm gonna woman-splain this to you. So.
Okay.
We are not raised to be anything as women outside of helpful. So when you are looking at characters for women specifically, Samus is like a complete person outside of the being helpful, and that's where I think that she just wins for me.
Okay. Sure.
That makes sense.
I'm down with that. And learning self-sufficiency is difficult. Like, that is, I think, something that I am still working on. So I would say that's that's a good role model to follow.
All right.
Also, Samus is pretty.
So pretty.
All right, question number two. Stage or screen? God. Where would you rather watch Cats?
God damn it.
After I'm dead?
I will say that I believe that I saw Cats the screen, the most recent screen stuff, in the best possible context, which was at the Uptown Theater after the manager said, okay, so I'm really glad you guys are here to see this. I've seen it 3 times. You're going to have some feelings. You go ahead and have those feelings. Uh-huh. If you want to laugh, you laugh. If you want to cry, you cry. If you feel like meowing at the screen, you fucking meow. Like, and there was so much side commentary. It was more of a communal experience than mm-hmm. it was just a watching of the show. So in that, I would say screen, because they don't let you talk while people are on stage.
Yes. I agree wholeheartedly. I was going to say the same thing. Jenna, you are 100% right. I'm going to say screen.
Okay.
Because the thing is I haven't seen it in either form. Mm-hmm. But I have my friend Merritt is very, very particular about cats. They are very into cats at the show, and was like, there are so many things that the movie did wrong, and there's this element in the costuming of the and this thing and all of these wonderful things about the onstage mm-hmm. aspect of it, and I'm like, now I just want to see that. Like, as fun as it would be to make fun of Cats, the movie on screen, I kind of mm-hmm. want to just watch something better.
I will say my first exposure to Cats was a cassette tape of the songs. And that was my only exposure to it for about 15 years. Before I got to see a staged version, which wasn't very good.
I watched a movie of the staged version. Where does that fall?
Yeah.
I would probably go staged. I would go staged.
Okay.
Here, if it is a staged version, okay. Even if it's less, because it's whatever. In a movie, you are looking at different pictures. Mm-hmm. You are able to move the camera around. You're able to get different vantage.
I figured that. I just wanted to, for the record, make sure that we were on the same page.
No, I would call that stage.
All right. Here's the thing. Cats sucks.
Yes.
as musicals go, as musicals go, Cats isn't good. That having been said, I think I would rather watch it on stage. For the same reason that I chose stage earlier, I feel, and we had this argument, so I won't rehash it. The whole stage versus acting versus movie sure. thing, but I think that for me,
yeah.
All right. Question number 3: Tiger or Lion? Which Detroit sports team are you more likely to invest any time in following?
Nope.
Tigers.
Okay,
I would rather watch the baseball.
What sports are the Tigers and the Lions?
Yeah, what sports are they?
Tigers are baseball, Lions are football.
I grew up on baseball. I guess I'd go with the baseball one. I've already forgotten which one that is. I know you just said it, but I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
That's how much of a not sports person I am.
Yeah, I have limited caring to invest myself in either. I'm probably more likely to watch a football game just because they're mildly more exciting if we're doing it via like TV or something. If I'm going to a live game, I'm fine with either, but mm-hmm. probably baseball slightly more.
Yeah. But I feel like it's way more acceptable for me to eat like 5 bratwursts and have 3 beers at a baseball
right.
game.
Yeah.
And a cup of nachos and a slice of pizza.
I am going to I'm going to go with, which was the football one?
That's the Lions.
Okay, I'm going to go with them, and here's why. I only have to follow them for, 15 games, and then I can bounce.
Huh.
I don't have to follow them for 182 games or whatever
fair.
The fuck it is. Like, that's work.
Yeah.
I don't want to follow a team for 100 and some games. Give me 12 and I'm out.
To be clear, give me statistics.
To be clear. And just
if I don't have to watch the games, but I can just play with numbers, I'm in.
I think baseball is better for that.
Right, yeah.
I honestly really started getting back into baseball, and I wasn't sure why until I realized that it was I was watching the highlight reels in the mornings on the TVs where Salsa and I work together. And baseball is incredibly exciting when you are catching the best 5 minutes of every game.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, here's
fucking
the thing.
Is.
That was the best 5 minutes, and I was still bored shitless.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Question number four. Mischief or malfeasance? What kind of assholes are we, the Zesteras?
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm gonna go with mischief.
Yeah, I think the Zesteras are mischievous.
Yeah.
Puckish.
Yeah. With the Malort, we get into malfeasance territory.
We do. Agreed. That is dangerously bordering on malfeasance. Ugh, Malort. Ugh. I don't even like the taste of the word.
I know. I think we're dangerously close because of the Malort, but in general, I'm gonna go mischief, I think.
Yeah.
Have you ever had mischief gone awry?
Oh,
all the time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It is still mischief.
It was
that non-feasance?
It was
or
mischief.
In-feasance?
It was mischief. Now it's gone into malfeasance territory.
Now that they understand what they're
yes,
doing.
Yes, it started as
Malort feasance.
Question number five. Bratwurst or chicken wings?
All right.
What should I have for dinner on my birthday?
Oh, bratwurst, absolutely.
Bratwurst.
Get a grill.
So many.
Get a whole bunch of dogs, wursts going.
Chicken wings are a snack when you're watching a sports game. If you're talking dinner for your birthday, bratwurst.
Yep. I actually agree with this one.
Well, and the other thing, too, is if you are having a party on your birthday, grill up a whole bunch of brats, let people serve themselves, get whatever toppings they want. They want relish.
They
want onions, go for it.
Except that we can't people right now.
Well... Oh, that's true, yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Happy birthday!
Thank you so very much to Dennis for sending in those Fast Fives. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should be nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and give us the context. Who has a shout-out?
I would like to give a shout out to my daughter.
What the? I'm right here.
Sucker.
Kicking
away. Who's been incredibly patient with my insanity over the past couple of months. That's it.
James?
I would like to take time to shout out to mental health professionals who are working over teleconferencing apps in order to continue providing assistance and service to their patients, even in these times where they cannot see them in person. Their services are invaluable.
Agreed.
Jessa? If you need a moment.
I will shout out the various artists that have been doing performances and making entertainment for us all to not go completely nuts during the quarantine. The amount of people continuing to do productions and adapt in order to provide entertainment for all of us is truly incredible, and it's nice to have that variety to keep us all from, like I said, going nuts.
Cool.
Agreed.
I am going to give a shout out to my son's daycare, a place here in the Twin Cities called Circulo de Amigos, and I can say that because Asher is no longer enrolled there. As of Friday, he is done with daycare.
Oh, wow.
Because
he became a big boy.
Yeah, he is. He is going to be in kindergarten in the fall. So he is none of my children are enrolled in this location anymore, so you cannot kidnap them from there. But Circolo is a Spanish immersion daycare that both of my children went to, and they are the sweetest, nicest, most lovely humans on the face of this earth, and we are going to miss them incredibly. Because they did amazing things for both of our children, and we love them very much and are going to miss them. So, shout out to them. Alright, anybody got something to plug?
Yes. I can't talk about it much yet. However, I would like you to look up, and I will send a link, so also remind me because I will forget. I'm very drunk. But I would like you to look up Adventurous Artists. You can look them up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can also go to adventurousartists.com. What you will see on all of these platforms is an image that says, Fringemas is coming. That's it. That's all the information you get, other than it is a small collective of artists that work within the Fringe system. Looking for ways to support and gather money to make sure that we are able to have a Fringe in 2021.
Nice.
Also, admire the logo. That is all.
All right. I have a show on Thursday and a show on Friday.
Jesus Christ!
Mm-hmm. On Thursday, we have the first double blind since quarantine began, which will take place online. I will pass the link as soon as I have it to our friend Salsa, and I will obviously be posting it online. So if you are friends with me on Facebook, yeah. It should be super fucking fun, and I am definitely looking forward to it. The show on Friday is, of course, Vilification Tennis, Ville Miserable.
Oh, God.
Which is our annual musical show. I'm very proud to have written a song which will be making an appearance.
Aww. All right, get those links to me. Do you have anything, Jessam?
I have not been doing a whole lot recently.
That's okay.
Quarantine. But I am planning. We ordered a bunch of computer parts to build me a new computer so that I can actually run some games and shit.
Woo.
And I am thinking that I might want to start streaming regularly.
Nice.
On Twitch, I don't know when. I need the processor to show up first before I can do any of that. I also gotta, like, set up things and figure out a time schedule and whatever. Could be once a week, could be twice a week, could be every day. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck knows? Not me yet, but I am currently throwing together a website my mother helped me with, which is where I will be posting all of my streaming and art-related content. I believe it is
Jessabelle Olmsted.
JessabelleOlmsted.com, which is very exciting.
Send me a link.
Yep.
Do you need...
Currently a work in progress, but... now that I've mentioned it, I have an excuse to get it up and running properly.
Indeed, yes, motivation. Is Twitch something you need an account to watch, or can you watch it as general public?
Not to watch, but if you want to interact in the chat, you need to have an account.
Okay, but just to watch, like, the streams or something like that, I don't need an account?
Yep.
Okay, I can do that. I don't have anything to plug right now. There, I have rumblings of something that might be coming up next month, but we don't know right now, so we'll find out.
I'm curious.
Right, I know. Is there anything else somebody would have...
Yes.
What?
Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye.
Is there anything worthwhile, anything that anybody would like to say? No, okay. In that case, thank you so very much to everyone who's been listening to this rather long episode at this point, I think. Thank you to Dennis Zastara for sending in the Fest 5. Thank you to our special guest for joining us and making Jenna feel old. That's delightful.
All of us. Making all of us feel old.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you so much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.